Hallelujah. Welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and to thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 a.m. for a wee cuppa, followed by worship from 11. You can also connect with us via our Facebook page, Exchange Church Belfast, our Twitter at Exchange Church, our Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, and our website, of course, exchangechurchbelfast.com. And it would be great to hear from you. Now, over to this week's talk.
So, I want to say that if you're visiting with us, we are a church that is all about the grace of God. We're all about the work of Jesus, finished and complete. Our stream is grace. So if you know Pastor Joseph Prince, who I'm allowed to say this is a friend, name dropping, and see that, and different grace churches around the world, we're connected into that stream. And so you will only hear about the goodness and the love of God today. Because when you're in Christ, that is the way that you change. That's the way you go from glory to glory. Because, as I said last week, when the Holy Spirit comes, he convicts the world, people outside of the church, outside of relationship with Jesus. He convicts them of sin, and he convicts us of righteousness. Is not good. So every waking minute of your life with Jesus, what he wants you to know is who he is and what he's done. And he just wants you to receive more and more of that. Okay? He doesn't come to beat you up. He doesn't come to tell you, oh, well, could try harder, son. Nice effort, but, like every school report I ever received. Do you know that? anyone else in that? Yeah, like seriously, they should have just written like seriously. I took after my dad. Actually, my dad is—he's actually really smart. My dad, but he was once described in his journey of learning, and it was pretty early on, so I think it put him off as a toity loiterer on the path of knowledge. I thought, actually, I would be proud if my teacher called me that. Like, it's not awesome, a toity loiterer on the path of knowledge. I thought, sounds like pretty good. I'm that thick, I don't even understand what it means, but I think it's pretty awesome. So in these days, you know what the Lord's doing in these days? The Lord is bringing back to the center of the church, and in fact, it's not just in the center of the church, it is history, folks. Jesus and his work. Jesus and who he is. And that's why this church matters to you. This is why the gospel of grace matters, because the Lord himself prophesied back in Amos 9:11, in the days of 9:11, as Pastor Prince says, that what would happen, he would restore the tabernacle of David. And in restoring the tabernacle of David, what that means, because this is what this series is about it would be a time whenever the ark was restored to Jerusalem, but the ark being the picture of Jesus and his finished work. And actually what the Lord said is that's what it's always been about. And what I've tried to do is over these last number of weeks, have we enjoyed the series so far? It's been good, isn't it? Is keep putting Jesus in front of you, who he is and what he's done. Because what you behold is what you become. And so what the Lord said from the very beginning, God himself, right back at the very start, wanted you to know that it would always be about his son Jesus and what he would do. And so he gives us these visual clues and visual reminders. And so that's why when you sit under the gospel of grace, what you understand is that the whole story, the meta-narrative of the word, of the Bible, the whole sweep of it over thousands of years, all points to Jesus. And that is what God is doing in these days. He's restoring through this revolution of grace, Jesus, his son, and saying to the church and saying to the wider world, it's all about him. It starts and begins and ends with him. And so if you're smart this morning, what you do is you go, well, who is he? What's he done? How does he love me? And how do I live in that flow? Yeah? And that's kind of, if you haven't been listening, you need to go and listen because it's really good. You can get it free online. And if you have trouble sleeping, there's a couple of the talks that really help you just to go straight over. That's what Penny does at night, okay? She listens to Pastor Josh McCauley from South Africa during the day. Not that this is causing an issue in our house. But then when she needs to just nod over, I can hear myself on the pillow beside. Isn't that mad? So last week I said this. I said that how the Lord carries you in his heart, remember? That you are, isn't it good to know that you are secure? What are you laughing at? It's good to know that you are secure forever, isn't it? Do you know one of those lies that religion tells us is that the love of God for you and the love of Jesus goes up and down like a fiddler's elbow. And that up and downness is absolutely tied to how you are doing or how you're thinking or how you feel you're performing. And what I said last week is that one of the beautiful pictures of the, because we've been looking at what the priest wore in the tabernacle. And it was not by accident. Whenever the Lord filled in all these details for us, it wasn't because he didn't have enough time or enough stuff to fill the book. Like, I've got to write so many pages. It's because in every detail, and what I've said week after week, is that if you want to trust the Lord with your life, see how he weaves the details in from thousands of years ago so that we would have this. He's the God of detail, and every detail matters, and every detail speaks of Jesus every time. And sometimes what we have is this kind of schizophrenic God, the God of the Old Testament, and then the Jesus in the New. And then even Jesus in the New is problematic for some of us because we can't live up to what we think he says. Isn't that right? So it's not even like old and new would be easy, fairly arbitrary, draw the lines. But it's not even like that. Because then Jesus talks about stuff in the New Testament. We go, seriously? Oh, my word, I can't do this. And it seems like we're stuffed every which way. But actually, when we sit under grace, when we sit under the true gospel, what we start to see with a different lens, we allow, you know, when with a lens, it turns the image upside down, okay? And that's kind of what grace does with religion. It turns it upside down. And you start to see things, and you go, oh, I'm starting to understand this for the first time. And so what I said last week is that the picture of the priest, and this is really important. I'm going to take something really simple again today because I'm simple, not because you are. All right? It's you, dear, not me, and all that stuff. Me, dear, not you. Story of my childhood, my teenage years. What happened was he carried the people on the shoulders. Remember that? The ephod that he wore. And then he wore the onyx on his shoulders. And in birth order, all the tribes were written into the onyx. And what it means is from the first to the last, you're all equal. But where are you carried? On the shoulders of the priest. The priest, in the days of the tabernacle, was one line, the Aaronic line. And we sit under the line, the high priest Jesus, in the line of Melchizedek, the king of righteousness. Okay? But the picture is the same. When they looked at the priest, what they saw was from the first to the last, engraved into stone, you're sitting on the shoulders. Shoulders speak of authority and they speak of strength. You are being carried by your high priest today. Isn't that awesome? And then what they would do is they would put the two golden braids, okay, to speak of strength. And the two golden braids, gold being divinity, perfect work from God, nothing of man in it. And you were anchored to the royalty, the royalty of God by divine work. So you sit on the shoulders of Jesus, you're kept safe by divine work, and guess what? What you're doing is not appearing anywhere there, so you get to rest, all right? And so we talked about the breastplate as well, and how on the shoulders it's in order of birth, but in the breastplate it starts with two stones, remember the ruby and the diamond basically at the end, and it's a picture of Jesus in Revelation 4, where it says the one appeared on the throne and he was like the ruby and the diamond, and the priest actually carried that, first to last, on his breastplate, this picture of Jesus himself carrying you all equally in divine work in his heart for all time. Because when he appears in Revelation 4 and you see that that's the same picture, first to last. Isn't that awesome stuff? That's beautiful, isn't it? And so today what I want to do is I just want to look at... I'm going to take a couple more weeks. Is that okay? Because I said to the Lord, I can fit loads into this week, but I want something to really land with you today because it's a beautiful picture, and we see a beautiful picture of Jesus in the clothes of the high priest, and then you actually see it when Jesus was about as well. Let's read Numbers chapter 15. If you've got your Bibles, come on, fellas, get your Bibles out, and... If you don't have your Bibles, just look up. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels on the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. Let's just sit on that for one moment, because I want you to understand something, that what is in the heart of God? What is his focus for you today? What does he want for you this week? What is the meaning of these tassels on the garments? And it's simply this, that God the Father is always thinking and pointing towards his beloved Son and his finished work all the time. This is what these tassels are going to show us. And he knows, I think in the heart of God, he knows this. If we will keep our focus on Jesus, if we keep our focus on him and who he is, then what we will find is that we will see the fullness of God and the blessing of God and the favor of God overtaking us like it's promised in the law. Do you get that? Because all of the commandments, it says here that keep your eyes on these because they remind you of the commandments. Actually, in the first, listen to me, in the first century after this, what they started to do is they weaved these four tassels 613 times to remind them of every single law. All right? And so when you're under law, what you do is you look at that and you go, this is where I'm falling short. But what's really interesting here is even back in Numbers, the Lord says, I want you to look at these and keep all the commandments. But there's something buried in here, which I've preached very quickly, but if you haven't heard it, I'm going to preach it or just let you know now. Because in this book in Numbers, where it says that you may look upon it, right in the middle here is the Aleph Taf. Okay? Remember, Aleph Taf is how the Lord always reminded us of Jesus, right? Now, if you don't know much Hebrew and you don't even know what Aleph Taf means, it's the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In English, it would be like A and Z. Yeah? You get that? Now, it doesn't actually mean anything when you put them together in the ordinary sense, but what you find is it's kind of strangely peppered the whole way through the Bible. You see it in Psalm 34, you see it in Genesis 1, you see it in John 1. I'm going to show you those in a wee minute. And, you know, if you take actually, you know, the first verse of the very Bible, okay, in Genesis, it's right in the center. And you know what? People and scholars have been completely stumped by this, and they never translate it, ever. Just these two symbols, Aleph and Taf, beginning and end, the whole way through. So if you look at Genesis 1, it's generally translated as, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all right? But right in the middle of that verse in Genesis 1, it says, and it's not translated into English, it goes, in the beginning was Elohim et Aleph Taf, right? So in the beginning was Jesus. That's it. The beginning and the end. In the very first book, very first verse of the Bible, you have Aleph and Taf. Now, I need you to grasp this with me. Now, what in Hebrew, how this works is that they're a bit like word pictures. You know when you're teaching your kids how to read, you have A for apple, B for ball, C for car, D for donkey, all that sort of stuff, right? In Hebrew, they do exactly the same. So for Aleph, it is the first symbol in the Hebrew pictogram. It's a symbol of an ox. So when they wrote Aleph beside it, it would be the picture of an ox, which is about strength, leadership, and sacrifice. Then the Taf, T-A-V, is a symbol of the cross. All right? So what you see is in the beginning, that in the heart of God, from the very beginning of the book, right to the very end, what the Lord was trying to draw your attention to all the time would be the ox, the sacrifice on the cross. All right? And so you see even back here in Numbers 15 that where he says, I want you to look at these tassels in order to keep the commandments. He says, I want you to look at these, and actually in the Hebrew, I didn't want to put it up because I don't want you getting confused, all right? I just want you to listen to me and hopefully get it. He says, when you look at these, look at Aleph Taf. All right? And you know why that's really important? Why that is really important is all the commandments of the law today are met in Jesus. Every demand on you is met in Jesus. Every penalty has been paid by Jesus. Every curse has been overturned by Jesus. Every bit of the law is now in Christ, perfectly held for you. Because he never did away with the law. The law was not done away with. The law had to be met. Because God's law is perfect and it stands forever. The issue was we could never make it. So what he says actually at the beginning, God's focus for you is he didn't want you looking at where you fell short, because the Lord never wanted you to be under law. From Genesis 1, he wanted you to see the sacrifice that would be made for you. Do you get that? So it's really important that you see that. And so in this verse in Numbers 15, that's what he says. I'll just go back to there. He says, yeah, you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it, right in there, if you want to go to your Hebrew, at Aleph Taf. And then when you remember all the commands of the Lord, who do you remember? Jesus. So why the blue tassels then? What was all of that about? And so, let me just help you. Do you want to know in John chapter 1 as well? I've preached this before, so I didn't want to go into it in too much details. You know, where in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was Aleph Taf. Genesis 1, Aleph Taf. Psalm 34, Aleph Taf. It's everywhere. It's like God himself the whole way through dropping hints and pictures of the one who would come, continually reminding you that the sacrifice was made on the cross and to keep your eyes there and not anywhere else. Don't keep your eyes on you. Don't keep your eyes on... It's like... And so these reminders to people under the law of the tassels actually were that something which brought penalty. So that's what it's like when you're not grace-minded and living under grace. You look at what the Lord says and it becomes a burden, right? And the Jews to this day, there's still a bit of a thing, you know, on a prayer shawl. It's called a talit. I'm going to show you it in a minute, where they have these four on the four corners. I'm going to show you how that's an unbelievable picture of Jesus in a minute. But they have these things on the four corners. And there's some crazy folks who think that New Testament believers like us under grace should wear them still. You know, I've had that conversation. Oh, you're not truly saved because you're not wearing the talit with your prayer things. And I'm going, would you like me to circumcise you as well, mate? How would that work out for you? Do you know what I mean? It's like, seriously. If we're going to go the whole hog, drop them and let's go for it. Snip, snip. Do you know what? They're just not as keen on that bit of it. Do you know what I mean? See that wee bit of the law? Let's just, little Penny's looking at me with those eyes. Let's just leave that bit. But isn't it funny how we pick and choose the bits of the law that suit us to make us feel better? Do you want to go for it? No sweat. All right? Big stool, sort you out afterwards. All right? So what you see here, right? So what you see here, it's almost like Jesus' signature. Him writing it everywhere. And what you see all the time is this is the Lord reminding you, this is where I want you to keep your focus. This is where I want you to keep looking. And he wants us to remember Jesus. And it's almost like what he's saying here in Numbers 15 to us under grace, because they didn't have this revelation and understanding, but we have it today. It's when you look at the blue tassel, when you look at the blue, remember him. Remember him. Now let me just show you another layer to this. Because every commandment of the law is hidden in Jesus, that he's obeyed it perfectly. And you know, he's never made a mistake, then we can receive. But what's really interesting about this thing that the priest wore, and you'll see people wearing it today, there's two things called a zitzit and a talit. Okay, let's just look at the talit. Can you put the picture up for me, Johnny? And let's have a look at it. You see the four things hanging down? Those are the blue tassels, and they were weaved in the center with a big bit of blue thread. Now, the blue thread was extremely expensive. Remember what I said blue stands for in the tabernacle? Blue is about royalty. Remember when it's the royalty of heaven with Adima, the blood of man? Adam literally means red-blooded man, if you remember that. Okay, for those of you who weren't here this week, when you put blue and you put red together, what do you get? Purple royalty. And you can never take the red out of purple. You're perfected forever. Isn't that awesome? But here you have a blue thread that sits in the middle of this. Now, what does it mean, and why does it matter to you? Okay, who needs to receive some kind of blessing or favor in their life from the Lord? In your body, who's going, actually, I don't need Jesus. I'm quite all right. Oh, no, we all do. Don't we all have needs? Okay, well, let's have a look at what it means. Because in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, there's this verse that's used all the time, and it was a prophecy about what Jesus would be like. And it says this, that the Son of Righteousness, if you can put it up there, Johnny, for me, says the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Remember that verse? Now, I always assumed that was about Psalm 91, where we sit under the shadow of his wings, the wings of the cherubim, in that place of protection, but it's not. It's a similar word, kanaf, in Hebrew, but it means something a little bit different. Because in Jesus' day, and he would have worn this, all right? Now, this is so simple, but in Jesus' day, he would have worn something like that talit with the tassels. And it was a prayer shawl, actually. And on the rules dictated that on each of the four corners, there was a blue thread woven into these tassels. All right? And though the hem of any garment, okay, was called the wings in those days, these tassels were also called wings, kanafim in Hebrew. And it was also the same word that was written into Numbers 15 that we've just read. Okay? So what when we put these two words together, so the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. All right? That's the hem, but it's exactly the same word as the corners that God described in Numbers 15. Do you understand that? Kanafim in both senses. So what it talks to us is that Jesus is your healer. When you look at this and you see the finished work of Christ, understand that the Son of Righteousness, God himself, arises with healing in his wings. He heals you. It was a visual reminder to the people who stand before God, people who minister, people like you and me, who live our lives as sons and daughters, that if we would keep our eyes on this, but we wouldn't see the demands of the law which brings sickness, but we would see him as our healer. Amen? Healer in every way. For our minds, for our bodies, for our families, for our relationships, for our past and for our future. Because at the root of the word to heal, rafe, is to rest in Hebrew. So what he wanted you to do was it's almost that thing of praying. You know when praying becomes a burden and praying becomes hard and praying becomes I'm not good at this and praying is like I never get a breakthrough and praying is all that stuff? Or you people are like brilliant prayers. I always feel wick when I pray. Do you know what I mean? Does anyone ever feel like prayers a wee bit like hard work? You need to listen to my series on it. It's really good. Shameless plug right there. But it was that thing of under the law when they put this on themselves. It was like a burden. But what the Lord said is, I know actually what was in my heart from the very beginning was that you would look at that and find rest because all of the commandments of the law are in Aleph Tav. Look to him and you find every demand already met. Isn't that very cool? Isn't it? Kanafim. In the corners or in the tassels, you will find rest. And it's that thing of if you want to find healing and you want to be restored, you look to Jesus and you find rest. You don't look to the sickness and find rest. You don't look to the person who's causing the issue and find rest. You don't seek out the opinions of everybody else to find rest. He says, I just want you to look and see how grace turns it for you, to go look at me and you will find rest. And when you are rest, your healing will come. Isn't that awesome? Oh, I just love that. Because what it does for me, even this week, is it's caused me just to go, Jesus, so many times this week. I had a really busy week with our business as well as church. And just finding myself under a little bit of pressure, actually. It's not like me. But finding myself, I love it when Pastor ministers Psalm 34. And I find myself many times in the car this week blasting that on YouTube in the car. Let us exalt his name together forever. And this week, I didn't even give him monkeys that I looked like the weirdo in the traffic. You know the way you normally pretend that you're on the phone? Does anyone else do that? Well, this week, I was in full Jesus worship mode. Sitting at the short strand, giving it all that there. People beeping their horns, going, move it on. I'm going, first two, mate, first two. It's a cracker. You know what I mean? An absolute cracker. You know what I mean? Going, I've got to get my eyes onto Jesus. Do you know why you feel weary and you feel tired even under law, even in the church? It's because your eyes are everywhere else apart from on the one who's done it all. Isn't that right? Who's been there, bought the t-shirt? Gee, it's hard work. But these constant visual reminders, and what he says is if you will just see. So what they didn't realize, actually, and do you know what they had on the hem, the priests had on the hem? Pomegranates. This is very cool, wasn't it? I'm going to preach this next week, but I'm going to drop it in this week. Do you know why pomegranates? Talking about work. Remember the priests ministered day and night? So it was almost this sense. Where do pomegranates grow? It feels like a science class. Does anyone know? Are they in the ground or up on a tree? Come on, shout it out. I want somebody to commit themselves to going, I know about pomegranates. Tree, thank you. All right? So the picture even on the hem of rest in the high priest was, you will eat of the fruit from here and you'll not bend over and dig it from the ground. Amen. Remember, the priests wouldn't sweat. Remember that week? They're dressed in linen. So actually put into the garment, into the kanaf, into the four corners of rest and healing are the fruit of the pomegranate. Because you picked that and you didn't have to work hard into the ground for it. That's pretty cool, isn't it? It's that thing of the Lord continually saying to you, I want you to rest. I want you to find my love in that place and perfectly receive my love, and you will find rest. And the more you're at rest, the more you will be healed. It's amazing because, let me just tell you a quick story. Because, so you see in Numbers 15, put these tassels onto the corners. It's exactly the same word, kanafim, okay? And so let's just have a quick picture of Jesus actually operating this way. Remember the woman who was sick for 12 years? She had the issue of blood. And I've preached on that one. She was probably anemic, lots of stuff going on. And she reaches out, remember, and she touches the hem of his garment, we're told. All right? Well, actually, literally what she did was she touched the talit, the tassel of the talit. She reached out and touched one of these four things. Actually, it talks about lots of different things. This is where David in the cave cut off Saul and all the rest of it. But for this woman here, what we see is as he walked, she reaches out and touches the blue tassel by faith. She connects with him in his perfection, in his beauty, in his power, and in his strength. And in that moment, literally, instantaneously, she is healed. Isn't that awesome? Now, I want you to just show you about how he loves you, though. And I want to encourage you for this week. It's the only recorded instance in the Bible where somebody reaches out and touches the wings of Jesus. The only recorded instance. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing where? In his wings. And here we see that prophecy fulfilled in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So she reaches out and she touches. Now, what's really interesting that, you know, what would have been really, what I think was going through that woman's mind is this, and this is why we need to feed ourselves really well in the Word, is Jewish boys and girls at that time were both taught the Torah, the boys particularly, so, and they're taught it practically from birth, and so she would have been really familiar with that passage. She would have known it. But here's what, can I just encourage you? I don't know what you're expecting from the Lord this week, but it's not enough for Jesus just to bless you with a little. It's not enough for him. Because let's have a look quickly at what he does. Because in this prophecy, healing in his wings, it was not just about your body, although that's part of it. It was about all of you. It was about finding rest and hope and, you know, prosperity and fullness as you reach out and you touch his finished work, that blue thread of royalty. You connecting with that which is royal in him. That's what grace does. But look at what happens. She had, I'm going to make this real simple. Have you noticed I've been preaching like really calmly over it? I was watching the royal wedding yesterday because I like Harry. I think, do you know, I'm just going to put that out there. Judge me all you want. I don't care. All right? Genuinely, I don't give a monkeys. But see your man preaching yesterday. Sweet mercy. Wasn't he awesome? Oh, man. I was born the wrong color. I just want to, seriously, I was looking at that going, Lord, can I, seriously, honestly, I just think I need to hit the sunbeds or something. Because, man, he preached a blinder, didn't he? Preached grace to billions yesterday. Preached love to billions. And I thought to myself over the last few weeks, if you're visiting, this is the calmest I've ever been preaching, all right? But I feel very excited about it, but in my excitement, I'm trying to temper it so that these things really land for you. Do you get that? It's not that I'm not excited in the inside and go, whoa, give me an amen. But how funny was it when all the royals were going, what the flip is going on? Wasn't that awesome? You could see them all going, like nipping each other, going, is this for real? You know, wasn't it class? I love them. But it's interesting for me that when the people were interviewed, I'm a rugby guy, as you know. James Haskell was interviewed after the service. Big brood of a rugby player. And what was the best bit of the service, James? That guy who was preaching. Can you imagine? Because, see, when non-believers connect with truth, it touches them in a way, and they don't even have the language for it. They don't understand it, but it's deep calling it out to deep. That they were created and made for something so much more. And it stirs and it touches bits of people that they have no idea what's going on. That's what the grace of God does. That's what the love of God does. When you declare, look at that picture yesterday, when you declare the love of God and how strong love is, you get the big, ugly rugby players going, "What? Something touched me." All right? I'm only saying he's big and ugly because he's not here, because he would knock my milk in. All right? He is a big brute of a man. All right? He is a big brute of a man. But let me just finish unpicking a wee bit of this story for you, because what's happened here is this woman, this rest, all right, that we're talking about, hemmed in at around the corners of the bottom of the robe, but also on the talit, the four tassels, right? This woman broke the law. She should have been stoned to death. Do you know what's incredible about this? I want you to think about yourself and reflect a little. To go, what happens in you whenever you know that you've done something which violates who God has made you to be? Right? I'm just going to put it that way, whatever it may be. Now, this woman came from behind the Lord, and she reached out from behind him, we're told, as almost by stealth, just to reach out and to touch. Because, and I wouldn't blame her for that. You know that song that used to do the rounds? I could only imagine what it will be like, surrounded by your, you know, when you face Jesus face to face. I used to think, whenever I heard that song, I felt such sadness the first time I ever heard it, because I thought, Lord, I'll be the one at the back of the room, standing, hoping you don't notice me. And that was part of my journey in grace, to go, that's not good enough. Okay? So I don't blame, because whenever you feel shame or you feel guilty, you don't look at Jesus face to face. And what's he continually reminding you to do? Look at my work. Look at me. But inside of us, when we know that we're guilty, we don't want to look at him. So this woman knows under the law that she's guilty. In fact, she shouldn't even be out in public, because with her condition, it wasn't just that she was unclean, but everything she touched and everyone who she touched would have been unclean as well. And that was a big deal in those days. It means you couldn't trade, you couldn't buy stuff, it was a big deal. So she approaches Jesus from behind, she reaches out to touch this talit, right? Leviticus 15:9 actually tells you how they would deal with her. They would have stoned her to death. Now, this is this picture that is right back in Numbers 15. In the Old Testament, listen to me, all the curses were behind God at his back because Jesus hadn't died. Let me explain that. Nobody could look at God in the face and live. Do you get that? All they ever saw was almost God at his back as he was leaving. But we're told that nobody could see the face of God and live. But Jesus is not about the law, because from the very beginning to the very end, and right in the middle and everywhere in between, the Lord says, every time you look at the law, you'll see Aleph Taf very close, if not beside. All the commandments are in Aleph Taf. All right? And so what we see with this woman here is, I think it's absolutely lovely, because he's all about grace. When this woman turns round, right, and touches him, what you see is that Jesus reaches out physically, lovingly, touching this poor woman. She was like a leper. She hadn't been physically touched by anyone in a long, long time. But can I just say this? It wasn't enough for him just to give her health. He wanted to restore her fully. The Lord never goes halfway with you. Do you know that? He loves you so much that just a little is not enough. He wants glory to glory to glory. Grace upon grace in your life. Isn't that amazing? And he's not happy for you just to come behind and just reach out, hoping that he doesn't notice you. Because what does he do? He turns around. I love this. And he says, I can just imagine him going, "No, hold on a minute. It's not enough for you to come by stealth, to hope that I won't notice you." And I get the sense in the heart of Jesus. He goes, "I want you to leave here today with more than just physical healing." And so what does he do? The lawbreaker, the woman who should be stoned, the woman who is guilty and condemned, for the first time, the only woman to ever be described as daughter, he turns around and he looks at her in her face. And in that moment, not just is she healed as she holds these tassels as she reached out for them, but so much more was given. He restored her very humanity and self. Can I just say to you this morning, if your expectation of coming to the Lord is, I am settling for just even a little bit, Lord, then can I just say, get a revelation of how much he loves you? Because it was never enough for him just to bless you a little. He wants you in fullness. And he turns to you in the middle. You know what I love about this? All the crowd would have been horrified. All the finger pointing of the religious people going, stoner. And he goes, stoner? Are you serious? I'm going to turn around and look at her. I'm going to give her her dignity. I'm going to give her love. I'm going to give her value. And I'm going to restore her fully in the face of the law. Why? Because in Aleph Taf, all the commandments are met. Oh, not good. See the way from the very beginning, he's loved you. He's wanted you to look at him face to face. In all of your mess and law breaking and all the rest of it, he goes, no, 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 no. That's all met in me. Just look at me. Rest in that moment, and as you rest, poof, you'll be healed. If you've been looking for healing the other way around, can I just encourage you to stop? It's so counterintuitive to us. We're so conditioned under law and the way that we've grown up and the way that the church sometimes messes with our heads. Isn't that right? To go, it almost feels like, for me, you cannot be serious. Like John McEnroe, you cannot be serious. You know what I mean? It's a throwback. You don't even know who John McEnroe is. Look at that. It's this problem when you have youngsters in the church. You know what I mean? They're going, John who? Legend. That's all I'm going to say. Inspired me to take up tennis. That's a lie. I've never played tennis in my puff before. But I love that picture. And as he prophesied from the beginning that the priest would carry rest and healing, and all you'd have to do is touch. The final thing I'm going to say is this before we take communion together, is that the last picture here, the typology, if you like, is this. You know, that thing of daughter, I just threw it out there, but it's really important that you understand that it's nowhere else in the Bible is it actually documented that Jesus calls somebody daughter other than this woman. Isn't that incredible? It's that depth of his love where he goes in the middle of the lawbreakers, in the middle of the public space, in the middle of all the accusation, she is my daughter. What a statement. Such intimate, it's like that thing of intimacy, which we all get very uncomfortable with, especially the men. Oh. But that thing of intimacy, going, no, in this space, I'm restoring her fully. I just want to say this, that if you have been touched by grace and touched by Jesus, okay, what this picture tells us, and with this I am finished, is that when the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing in his wings, wings are these things, remember, you keep saying it, not these, but these, all right? Is that when grace touched you, that which was unclean became clean. Forever. Once and forever, for all time. How much he loves you. Some of us still think under grace that because of what I do, it makes that which he has made clean, unclean. But look at this picture. When she reached out, every time you connect with grace and with the work of Jesus, in that place, that which is unclean is made clean. Every time.